Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. How we praise you for your almighty word. Speak to our hearts today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As believers in Jesus Christ, we've taken care of business with God. Believed the gospel, received eternal life, confessed sin, got ourselves saved, going to heaven. That's right. Dirty, rotten, no good sinners. Now in perfect, righteous standing before a holy God, with a future more amazing than we could ever have imagined. Our feet on the rock, Jesus Christ. No fear, no judgment, only the strong, loving embrace of the consuming fire of heaven. Go figure. So now what? How do we now live? What are our responsibilities? How do we relate to the people around us, society in general? What instructions might God give to us? Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans 13:8? Romans 13:8. Sell out to the love of God, and thus the plan of God. All in to God's plan. Everything about us. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And that second phrase, just to throw out the literalness of it, just to grab our attention, for the one who loves the other who is different, the other who is different has fulfilled the law. If I had came up to you and I had done something for you. Well, in fact, let me just give this story. There's a guy in the neighborhood and he helped me with some things. And well, I don't think I'll get in trouble mentioning his name. His name's Ira. Ira's a pretty good guy, but he was really a big help to me. He's got this little tractor and he does maintenance around. And I couldn't pay Ira for anything. He wouldn't let me. I'd try to buy diesel fuel for his tractor. I tried to do this and I tried to do that. He said, "Oh, bud," he said, "you don't owe me anything, just a little friendship." Ira's a pretty good old boy. "Oh, bud, you don't owe me anything, just a little friendship." I didn't owe him anything. And when God tells us, now notice here too, this is not a debt to God. It's a commitment to God because we're going to take him seriously at his word he's speaking to us. But this isn't a debt to God. See, this isn't, I'm going to be really good, and I'm going to try real hard, and God will keep accepting me, and I'll be okay before God. No. Folks, you're on the... If you've believed in Jesus Christ, we've been looking at it in Romans. If you've trusted in him, if that was sincere and authentic, you're on the rock. And you're never going to leave that place. God looking at you, you are there. He is holding us. So this isn't about... Well, we're going to do our penance. We're going to work hard and we're going to try to keep God from getting mad at us. That's not going to happen. See, the debt is not to God. Owe no one anything except to love each other. That's the people around us. Now, what we have moved into here in our section in Romans, we looked at those first 8 chapters, all that doctrinal footing that he gave us. We looked at chapters 9 to 11, the redemptive history, the church and Israel, and back to the church and back to Israel, and all of that. We looked at Romans 12, the early part, and we're living sacrifices before God. And then we're starting to understand and we're being renewed by the transforming of our minds. And then we go in and God says, now come in before me. And he said, let's do an evaluation so you know your starting point. And he said, do we look at our lives with sober judgment? And he looks at us and he helps us to understand where we are, where we fit in his plan. And then we looked in verses 9 to 21 at the battle against evil and the very specific terminology in overcoming evil, and we overcome evil by good. And then we looked at the last couple of weeks. Well, last week we were in a related passage in Titus. The week before we were in Romans 13, 1 to 7, of our relationship to government. And now it's like, how do we relate out in the wild? How do we relate? What is our starting point? What is our beginning place with the relationship for every person that crosses our path? Owe nothing to anyone except to love each other. Isn't it great how complete God's word is? Isn't it great that he doesn't give us some little direction here and a little bit there, this broad plan, and then he brings it down to the detail that this is how we live these things out. Now, the challenge is sometimes as we look at this, and I remember one time, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, and as soon as I introduced this was in our small group at our last church, And immediately, as soon as I got into it, and this, it shouldn't still surprise me, but it always does, the protests when you preach on the love of God. Not the love of God as sugar canes and balloons and lollipops and positive thinking nonsense. I mean the love of God as the Bible talks about the love of God. The protests that arise. And it was, I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was. I'm kind of like that sometimes, and just immediately, oh, I just don't know about that. Because right down here, this person's neighbor, the home we were sitting at, elderly woman, and some guy came in, and he was supposed to do this remodeling, and boy, he took her to the cleaners, and she ought to be able to sue him. Okay, that's another discussion. And that's a pretty good effort of fending this off. And if you don't want to hear God, it'll work. But what does the text say? Sometimes it just really is, we just have to stop. We don't realize sometimes the protests, the rationalizations that we bring to God's word. And, I had never heard this text preached before. We grew up in the church I grew up in mostly. Excellent guy, the pastor there most of the years, quite the evangelist. We didn't preach through Romans and different things like that. You heard a gospel message, and Chester led a lot of people to the Lord. But then even when I did hear this text, it was about money management. And then typically, then nothing was even said about this commitment to love, because, this is one of those texts on money management. Well, see, there's a couple of problems with this being a text on money management. One, if you go to verse 7, the verse before, because see, there's a transition that's made from paying money to what I call social currency. It says, pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed. Now, that's talking about money. Giving cash, giving coin, they'd give a coin with Caesar's face on it back then, write a check, whatever it might be. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Now that's money. Those are fees. If you ever, you're like me, you don't really want to look at your phone bill, because here's what your bill is, and then after all the fees, here's what it is. That's money. Now look what happens. Respect to whom respect is owed. Do you see it's changed to our social actions, our social interaction to each other? Respect to whom respect is owed. That's not money, is it? Honor to whom honor is owed. That's not money, is it? Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. I see where we stumble sometimes then is when we've already got it in our minds, this is about money, but then you'll hear a lot of comments, and from good commentators, and they'll say things like, well, this doesn't really mean you can't owe anyone anything, because if you look at the analogy of Scripture and you look at see what's set down in the Old Testament, and it sees that, you know, you can be in debt, you just have to be timely on your debts. Well, all that's true, but that's not what this text is talking about. we were in a board meeting one time, and one of the guys on the board, he said the church was talking about, they'd had building plans before I got there, big plans. And they were talking about how to do it and the possibility of borrowing money. And this person quoted Romans 13:8. He said, oh, no, owe nothing. And it's very literal. If you have an NASB, New King James, King James, English Standard, NIV, folks, as much as I like the NIV, it really stumbles here, because I think what it tries to do, it tries to make it fit, and it doesn't do a very good job. It's very literal. Owe nothing to anyone. So if it's talking about money, it's really saying so. He said, well, he said the church is not allowed to borrow money, Romans 13:8. I said, such and such, do you have a mortgage on your home? Yeah. So what's the difference? If you're going to use the verse there, you can't owe anything, then this said the church can't owe anything? No. It said owe nothing. Well, the whole thing is the problem is avoided when we see it's not talking about money here. And as we look at the verses as they continue, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what it's talking about, our commitment to society. Verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So when we understand the transition that was made from the second part of verse 7 into verse 8, we don't have this obstacle where it says, oh, nothing, and then we got to try to kind of temper that and go here and go there to explain it. That discussion's gone. Honor to whom honor, respect to whom respect, and we could say love to whom love, which is everyone. Now, we might have to, in our love, do some very difficult things to people we come in contact with. So let's just, for this morning, before our mind runs to all of these scenarios, all of these things that might happen, all of our theories, all of our rationalizations, all of the opposing schools of thought, let's just pretend for a minute that God knows what he's talking about, and he didn't stutter. You following me? Pretty clear, isn't he? This isn't one of those texts. There are some texts in the Bible that there is really some textual disagreement. It's like, boy, what did these words really mean? And I mean, you got these guys that they really know all the stuff, and they can't really figure it out. This is not one of those. It's just what it says. That is our commitment. We don't really understand that, though, until we believe God and start living that out. Now, I've been doing that for over 30 years, doing real well at times with it, and doing not so well at other times with it, but always there looking to that and God speaking to my heart in that. And it has dramatically changed my life. Sell out to the love of God. Because see, this is the plan of God. This is the plan of God. We say, well, does God have a plan? Yes, he does. Here it is. Wake up to the drama of the day of God. Verses 11 and 12. You know, one of the things I've done over the years in looking at verses 8 to 10, I've focused more on them at the expense of the rest of that section, 11, 12, 13, 14. This is a good thing about going through an exposition of a book of the Bible. Because I come up to this, I have to, this is a section here, verses 8 through 14. I've got to look at that entire section. I can't just say, oh boy, I sure like Romans 8 to 10. Wow, Romans 13, 8 has been so instrumental in my life, I even wrote a song about it. We'll just focus on, no, you got to look at the whole section. And when you do that, it's like, boom, God just opens it up. In verse 11, it says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of life. Now, a couple of things we just can't get away from this section without seeing And that is, it's telling us to wake up, and it's telling us the day is right there. Telling us to... We have an expression when we speak of drama in today's contemporary culture, we usually don't speak of it positively, do we? It's that person. Oh my goodness, the drama. The phone rings and you know it's going to be the drama. The email comes, you know it's going to be the drama. And so we look at that drama and we look at it in a negative way, but let's look at a different, there's a great drama unfolding if God has our attention. See, this is the next great epic coming. The coming of Jesus Christ. See, this day is coming. I've given you some really good verses on the back of your, in the center of your study sheet concerning that day, on the last day, on that day, the day will disclose it, the day of redemption, the day of the Lord, come like a thief in the night. That day is coming. With that in mind, God says, wake up and listen to me. See, this is the context where he gives us this owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. God's saying, instead of living in your realm, he said, instead of living, because this is one of the ways that we don't want to follow through and extend ourselves in this way in the love of God because of what might happen. God says, would you live in my world? The more we live in his world, the more we live, the more we bow to him in his word and obedience and devotion, the more real this drama of the unfolding. There's a great plan. Do we understand that? We will one day. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going on, that this terrible, the heavens and the earth burned up, Christ coming for his. Christ coming from heaven, leading the saints, which, as I understand it, were behind him. All of this great drama that's coming. That if you've trusted in Christ, you're a part of that. So could we just leave our selfishness alone for a little bit? Could we just stop thinking of only of ourselves for a while? Could we kick pettiness to the curb? Could we see the bigger game, this great drama? Let the drama of God capture our souls. It's a big deal, not because we're a big deal, but because we're a part of God's big deal. The reason, see what happens, we venture out on this love thing. We don't pay back evil for evil. We don't pay back insult for insult. We don't do this and we don't do that. We say, well, who's going to take care of me? God. See, sometimes we're so busy taking care of ourselves. In fact, Paul wrote in Corinthians, he said, you're getting ready to sue each other. He said, you're the one that's doing the wrong and you're getting ready to sue your brother because our outlook was so twisted. Again, there's a lot of variables that come into living this out. What I'm asking you today, will we hear God's voice and take it seriously, that this is our beginning point in a relationship with anyone who crosses our path? Sometimes we talk our spiritual life, it's flat or we're just bored. Well, it's not if you're living in the drama of the day of God coming. And we can't miss here too, besides this, you know the time, the hour has come for you to what? Wake up. What does that tell us? That our tendency is going to be to sleep. Our tendency is going to be that all this stuff's happening is just, we're just kind of lollygagging. To wake up. To wake up. Our salvation is nearer to us now than when we believed. What's the old country song? I'm closer home Bob, I can't remember Bob's last name, but Bob taught me that. I'm closer home than I was yesterday. Really a neat old song. Country group will have to sing that for you when we get going on that. I'm closer to home than I was yesterday. Walk in the daylight, verses 13 and 14, and put on Jesus Christ. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness. And we're sitting there and we're thinking, okay, boy, we're pretty clear. We got that one down. Haven't been in an orgy lately, or, you know, haven't had the Budweiser take me down. I haven't been drunk in the ditch lately, so I'm good. Not in sexual immorality and sensuality. And we could pretty quickly, we could say, okay, we're good on that one. Except, if you struggle like I do sometimes, you got that TV on and you didn't intend to get to it, and then something just flashed across the screen, or the show you were trying to watch that you were hoping wouldn't have that garbage, and the garbage is there, and maybe if you're like me, you didn't turn away from it as quickly as you should have. So before we say, okay, we're all clear on that one, we better let God speak to our hearts. But now, we're going to really get into rubber meeting the road stuff, and not in quarreling and jealousy. What's quarreling and jealousy? What's the war within you? I'm trying to get my way, you're trying to get your way. We're looking at someone, we're jealous of that, we're resentful of what they have. He said it's time to walk properly. It's time to, we're looking at these things and we're getting involved in things, the drunkenness, the orgies, the sexuality, the sensuality. That's all looking for life in some way. That's why people have the midlife crisis and they go for the new wife or the new husband, because their life is, they're in the doldrums, they're in this flat area. They've got to find something to bring life. Well, live in the drama of God. Walk properly. Let God be your life. Let God be our light, and He will get us through those things, and it's way better than the life choices that we would make apart from Him on our own. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't cut yourself any slack. God never has you walking a tightrope. We're not earning our way to heaven. You're not on that tightrope, and if you make one slip, you're done. God's done with you. Nope. But what He is saying is, you say no. Is, well, this is what I want to do. This is my, you know what, the old song, if it feels good, do it. It can't be wrong because it feels so right is another. I shouldn't be throwing all these country western lyrics out. Although Kyle would be proud of me, throw these country western lyrics out here. But put on the Lord Jesus. Well, what does that just mean? Just we immerse ourselves in Christ. What would Christ have us to be like? Well, you know, we don't have to wonder about that, do we? As we're looking here at our scripture on owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. He who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And loving our neighbor as ourself, because Jesus said, well, they said, what's the great command? He said, oh, love God with your heart, soul, mind, and might. And second one like it, keep them together. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, let's see, by the way, it was Jesus said too, love your enemies. Yep, by the way, it was Jesus said too, love your brother and your sister in Christ. He said, by that, he said, out there, the unsaved, they'll know you're mine. Walk in the daylight and put on Jesus. Seeing things for what they are, in wrapping this up, seeing things for what they are. And sometimes that's just what it comes down to. See, we don't realize we have layer upon layer of our life events, of our life circumstances, of our culture, of our subculture, of our training, formal and informal. We have all these layers. But really, when it comes down to it, what are these words saying? Will we let God peel away all the stuff? Will I believe Him that this is a good course to follow, because I will project all of the pitfalls, but will I believe God that He really does know what He's talking about? But it's so hard at times to accept this truth at face value because it's so familiar. Now, this is what the Bible teaches here. Oh, yawn. And the arguments for and against. Ho-hum. So easy to miss the simple truth. God gives us our starting point for every relationship with every person who crosses our path. We rationalize. We make excuses. We tell stories. We have anecdotal evidence. But really, all it is we are avoiding God and the truth of His Word. The simple, powerful truth of God is, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. He who loves the one who is different fulfills the law. What will we do with that? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you for Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. The faithfulness that we have here too, the willingness to step forward in your faith and courage and the direction of your word to show ourselves faithful. When this great day arrives, Father, not a day for us of fear and trembling and torment, but a day for us to see you, our Savior. A day for us, Lord, to see the good things that we've done in devotion and obedience bring a smile to your face. What a day that will be, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.